Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is taken from a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 50, Episode 37, is entitled Determinism versus Free Will.
In this podcast, I would like to reveal a fundamental flaw in the logic of science. The flaw exists because science does not recognize the immortality of the soul, that fundamentally we have both a physical body and a spiritual body. The spirit was created first. The physical body was created second. The physical body is mortal. The spiritual body is immortal. The physical body is created by God in the express image of our spirit. Our spirit is created in the express image of God. In the spirit resides our self-existent intelligence, our consciousness, our free will, our life force, and our connection to God, who is the Father of our spirits. The reason science compares man to animal, man to machine, and man to robot is because they do not recognize what the Apostle Peter refers to as our divine nature. They see only a biological machine, an animal, and a robot. I distinguish man as animal, man as machine, and man as robot in the following way. In describing man as animal, science does not distinguish us from any other biological creature, whether that creature be a beetle, a bird, a dog, a monkey, or a rhinoceros, as it relates to free will. In describing man as machine, science does not distinguish us from planets or moons or stars or any other natural sphere or object in time and space. In describing man as robot, science does not distinguish us from other humanoid-like creatures run by artificial intelligence, which gives us the appearance of free will. Science has ingeniously revealed to us three alternate universes. One they call the Newtonian world, the world we experience daily. The second they call the world of quantum physics, the world of atoms and quarks and electrons. No one has ever seen an electron or a quark. Yet science is able to make predictions in the subatomic realm with astonishing accuracy. The third, perhaps, could be referred to as the Einsteinian world, the world of space, time, and relativity. For convenience, let us call the first the macroscopic world, the second the microscopic world, and the third the telescopic world. All three universes act in perfect harmony, demonstrating just how complex our universe is, and how far science has advanced. However, because science is limited to that which they can control in the lab, though their findings may be astonishing, their conclusions about reality are flawed and do not reflect the human experience. In the human experience, many witness the effects of faith, miracles, divine manifestations, answers to prayers, hope, love, visions, dreams, free will, and God. That is an area the most sophisticated scientific tools and elaborate experiments of science can never reach. It is what Gerard Manley Hopkins calls the dearest, freshness, deep down things. The following poem by Mr. Hopkins is called God's Grandeur.
The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck this rod? Generations have trod, have trod, have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness, deep down things, and though the last lights off the black west went, O morning, at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with bright wings.
One must experience Hopkins' poem to know what it means. Science cannot duplicate that in the lab. One must choose to believe in God, being invisible. One may experience God, though he cannot see him, and experience miracles, though he cannot prove them. I have never seen God, but I have felt the presence of God, and have experienced miracles many times. And I confess I believe in guardian angels. I personally believe that the spirit world is much closer than we think. I am not a scientist, but I love science, and I believe in science. When I go to the hospital, I will choose an experienced heathen over an uneducated saint anytime. Two of the founders of quantum mechanics are Niels Bohr and Max Planck. Also among those great names are Werner Heisenberg, Albert Einstein, Erwin Schrödinger, and Richard Feynman. In his book, The Grand Design, Stephen Hawking summarizes the theory of Feynman, a giant in the field. This quote will show the paradox of quantum theory, as well as the astonishing complexity of the microscopic world. What interests me, however, is that quantum mechanics introduces the possibility of free will in a Newtonian world. Listen to the following with the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle in mind. The Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle states that you cannot know both the position and the speed of a photon or electron with perfect accuracy. If you know the position, you cannot know the speed. If you know the speed, you cannot know the position. Compare that, say, to a bullet fired from a gun in the Newtonian world. You can know both the speed and the position of a bullet, but that is not true of a photon or electron.
Feynman realized one does not have to interpret that to mean that particles take no path as they travel between source and screen. It could mean instead that particles take every possible path, connecting those points. This, Feynman asserted, is what makes quantum physics different from Newtonian physics. The situation at both slits matter because, rather than following a single definite path, particles take every path, and they take them all simultaneously.
If you let that sink in, it is mind-boggling. In the subatomic world, it explains how free will is possible in the Newtonian world. If all positions are possible in the realms of human thought, then free will is possible, and it is not just an effective theory of free will. Now, I want you to watch how science perverts that theory to meet their own preconceived notions that free will cannot exist. Again, a quote from Stephen Hawking.
It is hard to imagine how free will can operate if our behavior is determined by physical law. So it seems that we are no more than biological machines and that free will is just an illusion.
Both statements above cannot be true at the same time. Either Feynman is wrong or Stephen Hawking is wrong. The reason is this. Free will does not exist in the Newtonian world. Free will is spiritual and exists only in the spiritual world. The spirit, not the body, has free will. Spiritual matter is not subject to Newtonian physics. The spirit has free will, not the physical body, not the brain. Now, I want you to notice how Stephen Hawking, who speaks for modern science, tries to wiggle out of it. Again, a quote from The Grand Design.
Quantum physics might seem to undermine the idea that nature is governed by laws, but that is not the case. Instead, it leads us to accept a new form of determinism. Given the state of a system at some time, the laws of nature determine the probabilities of various futures and pasts, rather than determining the future and past with certainty.
Let's take that apart. First, Mr. Hawking rightfully claims, quantum physics might seem to undermine the idea that nature is governed by laws, but that is not the case. That statement must be correct. Laws of one universe cannot contradict the laws of another universe. For example, the laws of the microscopic world, the laws of the macroscopic world, and the laws of the telescopic world may appear paradoxical, but they cannot contradict each other. They are separate sets of laws working in separate dimensions of our universe, all united by our Creator to form our one universe. They work in perfect harmony. Neither God nor miracles can violate law, or God would cease to be God, and miracles would destroy the harmony of the universe, and that leads us to chaos. Science simply does not understand the concept of miracles. No miracle ever violated a law, ever, not in the history of the world. Those who claim otherwise do not comprehend the nature of God, or the nature of miracles, or the nature of law. God is a God of law and order. It is law that brings order out of chaos. The next claim, however, by Mr. Hawking is a self-contradiction. Quote, instead, it leads us to accept a new form of determinism. Given the state of a system at some time, the laws of nature determine the probabilities of various futures and pasts, rather than determining the future and past with certainty. Unquote. How can probability be a form of determinism when all probabilities are possible? How can the laws of nature determine the probabilities of various futures in the world imagined by Mr. Hawking? Remember, it contradicts what he said earlier. Quote, it is hard to imagine how free will can operate if our behavior is determined by physical law. So it seems that we are no more than biological machines and that free will is just an illusion. Unquote. Those are mutually incompatible statements. Next, the future cannot determine the past, as Mr. Hawking appears to suggest when he said, quote, the laws of nature determine the probabilities of various futures and pasts, rather than determining the future and past with certainty, unquote. Free will is based on the uncertainty principle. Free will is spiritual, not temporal, and quantum physics allows for that uncertainty. Contrary to what science would like us to believe, they are not always open to new ideas. History bears that out. Science admits to the appearance of intelligent design. The purpose of science is to prove or disprove appearances, not to use appearances as an excuse to hold to prejudice. The Goldilocks zone has the appearance of intelligent design. The necessary constants that make life possible on Earth have the appearance of intelligent design. The appearance of free will has the appearance of intelligent design. The business of science is to prove or disprove appearances, not to dismiss them because they don't fit their popular paradigm that we live in a godless universe.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.